Hello, everyone. This is Krista with episode number 128 on the Wag Out Loud podcast. Listen to this. Analysts with Morgan Stanley believe that the pet industry in the United States may reach $275 billion by the year 2030, and that's up from $118 billion in 2019. This is going to be fueled by increasing pet ownership and higher spending, and I think it shows that more and more people are realizing how much dogs enrich our lives, include them as part of our families, and we just can't help pampering them. Welcome to the Wag Out Loud podcast, where we are obsessed with bringing you helpful tips on canine healthcare, nutrition, and overall well-being. If you'd like to support the show, check out the amazing online events, products, and resources that I personally recommend on the Wag Out Loud website. I'm your host, Krista, and I'm super excited to be bringing you yet another tail wagging episode. Welcome, dog lovers. Let's learn something new today from Dr. Zach Pilosoff, who is going to share natural Cushing's control. Dr. Zach, we so appreciate you being with us today. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be one of the premier global veterinary cannabis educational experts?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first off, I'm, super excited to be here today. It's such a great platform. The amount of people that have been inspired and educated from this one platform alone is really quite amazing. So I'm happy to be on here. And so, essentially I'm one of the, the newer generation vets kind of breaking out of the box a little bit. It's been a quick, gradual process. And that's, obviously an oxymoron because, sometimes you think like you're moving slow, but there's just so much to know outside of school that you need to, you have to be a life learner no matter what your profession is, I guess. So I got to this point basically, initially kind of following the conventional path for a veterinarian. I was going to do a couple of steps towards not only becoming a general vet, but I also wanted to specialize in actually neurology when I was younger, but quickly found out that I was meant to do a bit more with my life. And I just was driven to just kind of follow, winding roads that were not as walked or not as bright, but was always curious about things that were new or innovative. And so, after following that kind of natural inclination, I, have come to fall in love with a few areas of veterinary medicine, with cannabis and CBD being one of those. And so, about 3 or 4 years ago, actually, that's when I started to really get exposed to it on the human side, more than the animal side, obviously, because they have so much more opportunity, on the human side to get feedback from the use of it and the ability to try and find the ways in which it can be therapeutic, as well as mitigate any type of potential adverse effects. And so through a couple of friends and then a couple of business partners, I was able to become quickly immersed in that world. So essentially, through a few friends and as well as some business partners, I was able to become quickly immersed in the human side of the cannabis movement. And found that it was something that truly had a great principle behind it and was just blown away by the stories and the real world people that I was meeting that had not only improved their quality of life, but also had been beating conditions and diseases that the rest of the world had kind of given up on them on. So I was really just absolutely just enlightened by that and became interested to see how that would play out with the patients that I had been dedicated my life to. And from then on, it was a bit of trial and error, meeting the right people out of a large pool of people that, maybe didn't have the same principles as I did. And then slowly finding out that there are actually some people with a really great mission in this industry through the chaos of the, quote unquote, Wild West of cannabis and CBD. Whereas now, after about 3 or 4 years of holding those close to me and finding people that are interested in with the educational component, first, and then being able to then source a product or to help people find a product that they can trust second, and then making sure that you're there for them along the pathway of their trial and error period as well. That's how I've been able to get to this position now.
That's great. Well, I'm excited to chat with you about this topic because, as we all know, there are so many studies finally being done on cannabis and how it helps not only humans, but our pets as well. And I wanted to ask you, you're also the chief veterinary officer for CBD Dog Health, which is a product that I absolutely love. And we just recently, actually yesterday, released Angela Artolino's episode on cancer and how CBD is helping to treat cancer, which is exciting. So what made you choose that company to partner with?
It's a great question, actually, because I tell you what, I promise you, when I started many years ago, I said to myself, I wouldn't pick one company over another because I wanted to kind of be the overall regulator of the industry and that helped kind of every company maintain a level or standard that I thought was acceptable and more likely exceptional so that we didn't have this problem of second guessing if something was going to actually do what we expected. However, it was actually kind of futile to tell the truth. I reached out to so many companies and I tried so hard to be that third party figure, almost like a non-biased FDA, for lack of a better analogy, for the pet CBD space and you know, through speaking at engagements and meeting people and trying to offer my ability as a guiding light to them. None of them really wanted that, and I didn't understand why, to say the truth. And then finally, I met this group at one of those engagements 2.5 years ago or so, and they were thrilled to meet me, and I was thrilled to meet them. And I think it actually started because I was like the first veterinarian they had ever met that wasn't scared of THC. You know, THC were taught as poisonous, basically. And it's all, again, just like every other compound within our body. It's all about the therapeutic window and then what you can do within that in order to make your body enhanced versus, you know, worrying about adverse effects. So that kind of sparked it. And then I really found that there was at least one company out there that after years of begging companies to listen to me of what I had done on my own to know exactly what you needed to do start to finish, that they were as transparent as possible and that they had a product that you had no problem finding pet parents that were willing and able to talk about the before and after stories that they have in it, similar to just how I started with on the human side when I was convinced on that side. So again, when you see that and you hear that and you have a company then that's willing to let you come in from start to finish and look at whatever they're making and stand behind it, that's what I was looking for and hoping for everyone. But, you know, they were really the first and only ones that I came across that were allowing me to do that and trusted in my education and I trusted in their principles behind the product.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you're part of that team. Well, again, we're going to chat about Cushing's disease in dogs, and that's a pretty common ailment, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's millions of dogs.
Yeah, I have the latest stat. I don't know if it's what you know, but according to Washington State University, an estimated 100,000 dogs are diagnosed with Cushing's in the United States every single year. Is that about right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So,
all right.
About how quickly that can build up over time.
Oh, absolutely.
It is. It's one of the most common diseases now.
And did I read somewhere that it's actually the opposite of Addison's?
Yep, exactly. So Cushing's is an overproduction of your steroids, your natural steroid hormones, and Addison's is essentially a consequence of the adrenal glands not being able to produce in general the amount of hormones that they're in charge of. And that can include all the hormones that are created by the adrenal glands or certain types from different locations in it.
Okay, got it. So how does a dog actually get Cushing's?
That's a really great question because that's exactly going to answer the question as to why CBD is a potential therapeutic option for it. And the reason is because Cushing's disease is a cancerous mass that is active. And so that's important for us to know. It's, you know, cancer is a word that everyone's fearful of, but it's not a word that we have to be blanket fearful of. And the reason being is because cancer comes in multiple ways. And the way in which Cushing's works is that whether it's from, you know, a constant pounding on negative feedback loops throughout your body or, you know, a different reason of sorts, Cushing's disease is actually created by a benign tumor that grows in one or two locations of your body, of your dog's body. Essentially, it can either be a tumor that grows inside the pituitary gland, which is inside the brain, or it can be a tumor that grows in their adrenal gland, which is in their abdomen. And the reason why this is important is because, like I said, although, you know, cancer is a scary word, cancer can be benign or malignant. And this cancer type is what we'd consider benign, but it's a metabolically active benign tumor. And it creates excessive hormones, mainly which being your steroid hormones. And that has numerous sequelae downstream throughout your body when they're being produced at this high level on a constant basis. We're dealing with you know, a quote-unquote endocrine disease, yeah. But the actual etiology of that disease is a benign tumor that grows.
Okay, I didn't know that. Is it true, Dr. Zach, that a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but there are times when there's too much vaccinations being administered that could cause Cushing's?
Yeah, I think that there's starting to be, over the last 40 years, some measures that we've kind of become comfortable with doing just as almost a shotgun method approach. The one in which actually, I think vaccination plays a role, but the one actually I think that we're thinking maybe actually is more influential on in terms of kind of, intercepting the normal feedback loops, like I kind of mentioned before in your body, is early spaying and neutering in dogs. And the reason being is because the gonads, which are the final receiver of the hormones that are created by the adrenal gland, which are stimulated by the pituitary gland, if we remove those organs too early, they can disrupt the feedback loop and then cause an overproduction or an over response to the negative control centers that feedback throughout the body. And again, the reason why that's important is because if you have the brain talking to the adrenal glands and then supposed to be talking to the gonads, if we remove that end result, then you have this backup of hormones that are trying to then go to a destination that doesn't exist. So I think vaccination and you know impurities and toxins in the environment and in the food, no doubt, are causing our bodies to be a little bit more pro or hyperinflammatory, and that definitely doesn't help at all. So, you know, if you are able to take measures on those fronts, it's definitely something that is relevant now. But what I think a lot of the doctors that are in the integrative world and the holistic world are maybe seeing is that it's actually maybe a very logical consequence of staying and neutering early. And that doesn't mean that we're saying staying and neutering is bad, because population control is also something we need to be aware of as humans, as we unfortunately, you know, also have had that effect on dogs and cats if we're not responsible.
Right.
I think that there's a time and a place for everything. I think that we're finding maybe that there's a better time or place to let bodies mature, because this might be a consequence of that.
Okay, so I have to ask you, what age do you think is appropriate for spay or neuter?
Right, so that, you know, it's tough, right? Because I think that now everyone's going to start developing their own opinions with that. So what I've been kind of just coming into this position of is I understand when a dog is young and still growing, and I understand when a dog enters geriatric. And so, you know, within that window is kind of where I would say is the best place, because you're going to let the body mature fully and you're not going to make it so that it's thirsting for the complete feedback loop that exists. But at the same time, as you get geriatric, the organs that we remove during a spay or neutering surgery, those aren't really being used anymore, and they're actually more predisposed to then becoming a problem to the body, whether that's infection or cancer. So, you know, geriatric involves is, again, relative based on the size of the dog. So anywhere between, you know, 8 to 9 years in a small toy breed dog, 7 to 8 in a medium size, 5 to 6 in a larger giant breed. You know, when you're pushing those ages, the organs you remove are technically probably not useful and necessary in terms of metabolically, but to spay a neuter earlier than when the body's mature, I really am confident that not only just Cushing's, but several other endocrine diseases, we're going to find maybe a correlation to that, whether they are endocrine or are congenital orthopedic cancer, et cetera. So the window, you know, like I said, it's hard, it's relative, it's kind of based on the breed and it's based on the owner, how responsible the owner is.
Sure.
Do you trust that owner to you know, to be able to keep that dog intact for a while? But, you know, the mid adulthood is definitely somewhere I think that we need to be targeting for that. And that's not even to get into the topic and discussion of, you know, vasectomies and hysterectomies versus classic spay and neutering. That's something that,
right,
you know, I think is super new, but that's a whole different topic.
Yes, we'll have to have you on again. Okay, well, this is a great place for us to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back. Thanks to our sponsor, CBD Dog Health. It is one of the very few CBD companies that I feel confident in recommending, and here's just a few reasons why. Their full-spectrum hemp-derived CBD products are extracted from high-quality hemp grown here in the U.S. with no use of herbicides, pesticides, or chemical fertilizers. They're legal in all 50 states with less than 0.3% THC, non-GMO, full of active cannabinoids such as CBD, CBG, CBN, and CBDA. Their processing uses supercritical CO2 extraction. They're manufactured with 100% food-grade ingredients, tested by a third-party laboratory, and available for home delivery to all 50 states. Check out the quality CBD dog health products and help your dog find relief at cbddoghealth.com and be sure to use the code WOL for 20% off. Trust in a company that is passionate about helping your pet live their very best life. Hello, everyone. We are back with Dr. Zach Pilosoff. We're going to talk about how we can treat Cushing's disease naturally. And Dr. Zach, I just wanted to quickly, before we talk about how CBD can treat, I understand there's three types of Cushing's. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, the primary ones we talk about are pituitary and adrenal dependent. But there could be a third type, I guess, sometimes that people talk about. There's actually, I guess, technically there could be four, but mostly it's either pituitary or adrenal dependent. That's just based on where the hormones are being produced.
Okay. And it's difficult to diagnose. Why is that?
It can be because to get a definitive diagnosis, it requires some tests that are tailored to trying to prove the excessive stress response of the body, basically. And so the reason why it's hard is because if a dog has other conditions that are occurring at the same time, or the body is, you know, immune suppressed for some reason, or you know, it just got over it, a different condition, or, you know, better. There's so many different examples that the ability to get a true accurate reading of the body's stress response by itself and in and of itself can be skewed or, you know, kind of blunted by the things that are going on around it. Because your body, you know, your body doesn't work in one single linear lane. It's always overlapping. So, you know, we have a variety of tests that, you know, your veterinarian might mention in addition to just basic blood work. They may be wanting to suggest in order to try and get a definitive diagnosis. And that could be blood tests or that could be, you know, imaging of the abdomen as well. So it is difficult sometimes to get a definitive diagnosis, but, you know, sometimes it can be diagnosed, but it can be difficult. I definitely agree.
Okay. How is it treated in conventional medicine? And then we're going to move over to how CBD affects the treatment.
Right. So conventional has been pretty limited, actually. So, you know, I always mention this because I think it's quite funny, but actually one of the first drugs that was used was something called mitocaine, which is a sister of DEET, which is, you know, as you know, DEET is the horrific mosquito.
Bug repellent, yeah.
Yeah, insecticide that is, you know, carcinogen. So that was one that we used to use, and I think that's amazing that we thought that was a therapeutic option. But nonetheless, so really right now, the most common drug that's used is something called triclosan. Which is goes under the name of Veteril, I believe. And essentially what it does is it blocks the enzyme that is your body uses in order to then, a couple of steps down the road, create cortisol or your stress hormone. And so on paper, it looks great because it means that your body can't create cortisol. But, you know, at the same time, what about all the other molecules that are supposed to be made by that sister molecule that's being blocked from that enzyme that we're blocking? So, you know, it's confusing to talk about it. It's easier to make a drawing of it. But all you have to know is you kind of, you know, you're kind of cutting the trunk of the tree and expecting the roots to, you know, still get water from the branches. So, you know, it's difficult to really fathom how, again, that's an option. But again, it does work for some dogs, but a lot of dogs, it definitely doesn't. It only has about 60 to 70% positive influence. And then at the same time, you know, what are the adverse effects you're getting from blocking that enzyme? The third would be specific usually to the tumor itself, where it's located. So if it's in the abdomen, it's an adrenal dependent tumor. So sometimes people do surgery to remove it. If it's a pituitary dependent tumor, sometimes they'll do radiation to try and shrink it. So those are usually the three options, but the most common by far is using triclosan, which is that medication.
Now on to CBD. So we're treating, or a hormonal imbalance as well as a tumor. So what are the benefits of using CBD specifically for Cushing's?
The specific list is actually quite diverse, which is, again, surprising to me. It's something that I never expected when I met the CBD Dog Health Group to be able to be a part of this early finding. But the list in which of not only the direct cause for the increased steroid production, but the side effects and the adverse effects your body feels downstream, they're all kind of directly, most of them, if not all of them, can be addressed by a full spectrum CBD rich extract from a trusted source. So, you know, starting with the obvious that the, you know, CBD, a full spectrum CBD rich extract that has THC in it has been found to be in numerous studies capable of addressing numerous types of cancer types in the body. So, again, we could be directly addressing the source of where the excessive steroids are being produced and helps to shrink that tumor to normal size. The second would be a lot of the modulation in general of the endocrine system. So there's numerous reports in humans showing that CBD helps to modulate and regulate your endocrine system, meaning that it doesn't cause it to go too high or too low. It often helps in a fashion to keep it in the regulator fashion at normalcy in more ways than one. And it's not just with steroid hormones. It can be with numerous other neurohormones and other molecules your body creates every day talking to each other between cells and organs. So those are two right off the bat that, again, address that disease specifically. And then there's the other things that Cushing's causes. Specifically, it causes an immune suppression of your body from having steroids all around all the time. And immune suppression leads to the ability to develop infections earlier. Specifically, skin infections can be something that's common, and ear infections can be something that's common. So as we know, full spectrum CBD rich extract topically is actually one of the most effective uses, no matter what, whether you're a human or a dog or another animal. And it's hugely responsive when used topically for the fact that every layer of your skin has both CB1 and CB2 receptors in it at different densities. So it's extremely responsive, not only for inflammation, but for itch, for infection. And then, you know, lastly would be skin tags and benign tumors that often form on the skin from the actual effect of Cushing's. And whether it's, one of those fatty tumors that we call it, the lipoma, or a sebaceous cyst, or skin tag tumor. These are super common when you have Cushing's. Again, a lot of them are due to the immune suppression or dysregulation of a cell that otherwise shouldn't be dividing. And again, Cushing's is directly related to it because we see this in such a high number in these cases. And then at the same time, CBD has the ability to, as we know, potentially kill cancer types. These are not any different. So those are really the most common things we see, you know, helping to address the tumor itself that's grown, the benign tumor, helping to modulate the immune system and the endocrine system, and then helping to, for a variety of conditions that we can visually see on the outside, whether it's infection or inflammation or actually little bumps in the skin that develop. So there's actually a couple more, but those are the main ones I would definitely point out and discuss.
That's exciting. And do you recommend both an oral tincture as well as putting a salve topically on a tumor?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Yes, you can get it from both directions. There's absolutely zero drawback to that. And there's only added benefit if it's going to be effective and if you can reach that mass effectively.
Is Cushing's a disease that a dog will have for life? So they would be on this CBD regimen for life? Or is it possible to actually, quote unquote, cure it?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I don't know if we yet, as a very small group of people, are able to kind of answer that in terms of a longevity study. I don't know if I can really give a great answer to that. I know that it's a gradual reduction in terms of side effects and conditions that, you know, you kind of see them in a almost like a domino fashion. But I actually, I'm not positive about that. I think that we're still very early in knowing if this is something that has to be continuously at a steady state, or if it does effectively, you know, address the tumor in a variety of dogs, and then after that, that they're at a, you know, level of remission forever. But that's a good question. I would love to be able to answer that in the next few years, you know, at least sometimes a small, you know, group of pet parents that are willing to help us prospectively understand.
That's great. Well, there have been studies on CBD for Cushing's, correct?
In pets? No, not right now.
Okay, so it's all in human medicine so far, but it's very promising. Yeah. Great results.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you're looking at the, you know, the ultimate surveillance or ultimate regulator system of the body, the endocannabinoid system, which is what CBD and you know, full spectrum CBD rich extract is helping to enhance and to keep at its high function, it just makes sense that it's going to help wherever is needed. And you know, this is no different than anything else, of course, and, you know, any other condition or disease that can respond to it.
And as far as dosing, you know, a lot of people, we know that because of the endocannabinoid system that we should be taking CBD preventatively anyway, ourselves and our dogs. But when we have Cushing's, would there be a higher dosage?
So yeah, so the dosing question is without a doubt one of the more frustrating ones to help, I think, our society understand, because we've been so tuned into the dose response curve of classic pharmaceuticals that when it comes to cannabis is, I think a lot of people will disagree with what I'm saying here, but cannabis doesn't seem to show the very classic dose response curve that we would expect with pretty much every other pharmaceutical. And you know, every drug that we use really is either based on a milligram per kilogram or milligram per pound or milligram per meter square basis, meaning that it's based on, you know, either a weight or a surface area, and that it should be a linear relationship. Mm-hmm. With cannabis and classically with CBD, you'll find this with CBD, like the curve in which how CBD works. And there's a middle moderate dose that usually works best based on the individual at hand. So when you're looking at using cannabis as part of a multimodal approach to addressing one or more conditions, you have to take into account that animal in and of itself, meaning what is the age of the animal? What disease or diseases are you trying to address? What pharmaceuticals has it already been on? How fatigued has its endocannabinoid system already been? You know, what is our goals in terms of treatment? Are we looking to mitigate something? Or are we trying to actually cure something? You know, so, and then what other natural therapies are we going to include with it? Are we going to try to use CBD as a monotherapy?
Right.
You know, those are six categories that alone would be important to consider prior to us, you know, kind of answering that question. But it is something we can answer, but I think in many situations, but the endocannabinoid system itself is something we're just still trying to understand quickly. So that dose that we're going to need, so I guess long story short, yes, we'll need more than what would be considered, I guess, a steady state basal amount, because we are trying to address an actual condition. How much though, it's going to be case dependent based on the animal.
Well, and I'm sure you and the team at CBD Dog Health would be happy to work with you on a starting dosage for your own dog, and then you go from there. You can always increase it, of course. So actually, the sponsor of today's episode is CBD Dog Health. It's a product that I highly recommend, of course, Dr. Zach being a part of the team. So if anyone's interested in talking to them about not only Cushing's, but any ailment that your dog might have, the team is wonderful and will help you in your journey. So as we're wrapping up, Dr. Zach, is there anything that you would like to leave us with as far as CBD and Cushing's?
Yeah, I do. I have my classic sign-off, I guess.
Give it to us.
Myth bust in a minute or less. So my first thing is essentially, you know, like I know I'm part of a small group of veterinarians that not only maybe want to give CBD a try, but are going forward with the necessary education to understand the cannabis plant and the CBD products out there in general. And so, you know, obviously what this does though is this topic creates a lot of fear in a lot of people's minds because it is, like you said, very unregulated. And so the first thing you need to know is that for me, at least, we are not as cannabis advocates saying that cannabis is going to 100% cure everything, no problem whatsoever by itself. Don't worry about anything else. Just use cannabis or CBD and it's going to do it. You know, people always say all the time, we're giving it high hopes that all their dogs how much going to be cured and then they're going to turn around and use it themselves and they're going to be totally fine. And that's not how it works. CBD is though, well, I'll tell you this, I'm 100% confident on this. If you have a product that you really can trust based on the companies as well as your own due diligence in terms of making sure that product is safe and also effective, is that there is no better first tier natural therapy or natural remedy that you can use for almost every condition with confidence and knowing that there is one or more ways that it's going to be able to help you or your pet become more balanced and more healthful in life. So,
well said.
Cannabis is not a cure-all for everything, but it is, without a doubt, one of the most profound multimodal therapies that we can turn to for almost every condition, and be confident that this is something that's only going to help our bodies if we find a product that is proven to be safe and effective through the due diligence of both parties.
I totally agree. Well, Dr. Zach, we are out of time, and I can't thank you enough for sharing this valuable information. Where can everyone find out more about you?
So right now, both of my contacts can be done directly through CBD Dog Health. That's where I let them take care of the community reaching out to me. And whether that's just questions that they can submit through social media platforms, or Angela, you mentioned before, who is the CEO of the company, we actually are able to do telehealth consultations for pet parents who are looking to not only incorporate CBD, but looking to help improve their dog's life through incorporating natural foods and remedies that can otherwise be either in conjunction with or eventually maybe even supplant what they're doing right now with their pet in terms of treatment. So CBD Dog Health has been helpful so much in terms of taking that stress off me. So that's where you can really turn to, whether it's the main homepage or the email there. I'm friends with everyone on that team.
Perfect. Well, we so appreciate everything that you're doing. As the studies keep coming in, and you know, even anecdotally, people are finding CBD to help so many different things. I'm excited to see what's on the horizon, and just another reason to have you back.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that it's quite impressive how many pet parents, how many educators, how many experts you've been able to on one platform, you know, bring together and enlighten. So I'm so thankful that you invited me on here, and you know, you never know, a couple months, years down the road, maybe we can do it again.
Let's. All right, Dr. Zach, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Thanks again to our friends at CBD Dog Health for sponsoring this episode. Check out all of their amazing products, like CBD-enriched hemp oils for separation anxiety or traveling needs, extra strength cannabinoid formulations specifically made for more serious conditions like PTSD or pain from cancer, salves to treat dry skin for dogs and other ailments like hot spots and allergies, and all natural pet treats. All of the CBD Dog Health products are made to effectively treat your pet holistically and naturally. Help your dog thrive by using the code WOL for 20% off at cbddoghealth.com. Thanks for listening. You'll find some helpful links in the show notes. And if you enjoy the show, please be sure to follow and listen for free on your favorite podcast app. And please, please share your feedback. Visit wagoutloud.com for great product recommendations with discounts, amazing online events, and fantastic resources. That's also where to visit our Bark About It page, where you can suggest topics, guests, or products. Be advised that this show offers health and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You're encouraged to do your own research and should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace, professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your dog's health, you should always consult a veterinarian or a nutrition expert. Have a tail wagging day, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, Winston, was that another tail wagging episode?